This morning, I want to share with you a little bit more about what this gathering is about, because I have found it very, very, very interesting. I don't get told what it's about before. I get kind of minimalistic instructions by my sheikh, and I get told to set it up. I get shown who to invite to be presenters, and then get a few hints if I get desperate. And of course it changes, it is not a sort of imposed, static thing, because it's a living spiritual presence, a gathering like this. But I found it very interesting because yesterday evening when I came into the dining room, I noticed that something had changed. I noticed there was a certain joy in the air that hadn't been there before. And at first I thought, people are just happy being together and there's a really nice supper and a nice piece of salmon and a delicious piece of chocolate cake and And we know Imam Bilal's reservations about chocolate, but I couldn't resist that, Bilal. I saw you coming in, I remembered the chocolate. And there was going to be a beautiful concert in the evening, and people were happy to be together. And then, so I sat down, and then I noticed these lights moving around the room. And I thought, interesting. I haven't seen that before. Maybe I was just too preoccupied. Probably when there's a spiritual gathering like this, there are always lights moving around the room. You don't always notice them. Sometimes the nafs is in the way. But I thought, they were kind of moving very beautifully around the room. But one never knows. And because there are some of you that think I know everything, the devoted disciple. But then, when I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard something, and then I understood, because I heard this singing, and it hadn't been there before. I know it hadn't been there before because I've been up a few times in this gathering at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to align myself with the gathering, trying to see, trying to feel its currents, its the ways of love, trying to be of service if I can. And then I knew that this song was a song of remembrance, and a very particular song of remembrance. And I began to understand a little bit more about what we are doing here, why we are here. And what came to me is the basic principle that spiritual life is a response to a call. We are here because on call to the path, not just here now, but we are on the path we are on because somebody called us. Because the beloved called us. This is this beautiful ancient Persian poem. I am calling to you from afar, calling to you since the very beginning of days, calling to you across millennia for eons of time, calling, calling since always. It is part of your being, my voice, but it comes to you faintly, and you only hear it sometimes. I don't know, you may say, but somewhere you know. I can't hear, you say, what is it and where? But somewhere you hear. And deep down you know, for I am that in you which has been always, I am that in you which will never end, even if you say, who is calling? Even if you think, who is that? Where will you run? Just tell me. Can you run away from yourself? For I am the only one for you. There is no other. Your promise, your reward, am I alone? Your punishment, your longing, and your goal. This is really the most primal cry in the universe, which is the cry of the Creator to his creation, which for us Sufis is the cry of the beloved to his lover. Without that cry, there is no spiritual path. Without that calling, there is no spiritual path. We are called, and our journey begins when we hear that call. Sometimes we hear it very strongly, very violently, very cataclysmically, and it destroys our life to turn us towards God. Or sometimes it comes more subtly in, hidden under the currents of our daily life, to begin to turn our attention away from all the distractions of the outer world. But we are really incredibly fortunate because we can hear this pure call, this essential note of pure love, of pure grace. We hear it amidst all the noise of the world. How we follow it, of course, is up to us and up to all the veils that are between us and the caller. But just by the fact that we hear this call, that we can hear it in its purity, this single note of love, is an incredible grace. More than you would ever know. It means your heart has been primed by the beloved to be receptive to his call. And for reasons that are infinitely mysterious, it is not like that for everyone. Mrs. Tweedy used to tell us, she said, Sufis are not made, they are born. You come into this life as a soul with a memory of that fragrance of love, with a memory of that call, of this archetypal call to prayer. And so when you hear it, of course you don't hear it with the ears of this world. You hear it with the heart, you hear it with the soul. When you hear it, you are receptive to it. And it draws you back, it draws you back. Before you looked for him, he looked for you. And I think it puts one in a very, very privileged position. Yes, the spiritual journey is a long and scary, hard work. We know that. But we also know it is the greatest grace to ever be given, to be able to make that journey, to be able to go back to the source, to be able to hear the call of remembrance. He remembered them, so they remembered him. And we also know that it is not like that in the world around us. Maybe there was a time in the past when it was like that in the world around us, when the world as a whole was open to hear that call of love. Maybe those times are long past. We live in a world of forgetfulness. We live in a world that doesn't even know the existence of that note of pure love, that associates love with desire, with emotion. And we Sufis are the keepers of this note of love in the world. We are lovers of God. We are here to keep that note of love alive in the world. To keep pure this axis of love that is at the core of the world. And to keep it alive for the world as well as for our beloved. There are servants among my servants who love me. They love me and I love them, and they look towards me and I look towards them. This inner alignment of love. But this is how it is in the inner, through our devotion, through our remembrance. We keep alive this note of love, this hidden secret to the world. But the world needs it. This is apparent. The world is rushing towards some cliff of incredible disaster. So I say, you don't have to be clairvoyant to see it. You just have to read the newspapers. And the underlying reason is forgetfulness, is the lack of remembrance. Because if you forget, then you identify everything with the nafs, with the ego. And if you remember, you can become aligned with God. Then His grace comes into your life, comes into the world. It's very, very, very simple. But the world doesn't hear this note. Why? Because it is too pure, because it is too refined, because you see, this note of remembrance comes, this call comes from the absolute, comes from the uncreated, comes from the hidden. It comes from the aspect of the divine that has no shape, no form, no color, no sound. That is why the Sufis say, in the name of He who has no name. That is why, as Imam Bilal told us, the highest zikr is a zikr of silence, where there is not even the repetition of any name, because that is what is closest to the source. And our Naqshbandi founder, Bahauddin, he said, God is silence. It is not only silent, it is colorless, it has no form. That's why the Sufis talk about the color of water. The color of water has no color. And we are privileged because we can hear that essence, that cry that has no shape, that has no form, that has no color, that has no sound. We hear it with a heart that before creation was awakened to love. Before we came into the world, our heart was attuned to this note of love. Otherwise, we wouldn't hear it. That is our privilege. As in this Persian poem, it is our reward and our punishment. It creates this terrible longing in the heart that drags us back to God. But how can we give it to the world? Because the world needs this note of remembrance. We are the guardians of this pure love, and it is needed in the world at this time. But how can the world be given what it cannot hear, what has no sound, no form, no shape? How can it be given that? Well, there is this ancient way that if it doesn't work in the most obvious, it works in a roundabout way. And there is this call to prayer, this call of remembrance. that can be awakened in a gathering of Sufis and be given to the world. And because it contains our impurities, our denseness, our forgetfulness, it becomes colored. It takes on form, it takes on shape. It has a sound, you can hear it. And that is what has happened over this gathering. That is what I heard this morning at 4 o'clock. I heard this call, this song, that had been textured and shaped through our hearts, through our devotion, and through our impurities, because it is about oneness and everything is included and everything is needed because everything is a part of God. Everything can be offered to God because He is one. There is nothing other than He. So because we came together for the sake of the One, and this is very, very important, because we came together for His sake, not to come together to learn something or study something or even improve ourselves spiritually. We came together because we were called for His sake, to come together. Then this call of remembrance began to take on form, began to have a sound. And this is also important, that this work could not be done by any one spiritual order. This is very, very esoterically important, because the next era has to do with people coming together. And the way you begin something has to contain the seeds of the future. The future is not about one being separate from another. That era of separation is coming to a close. Era that has already dawned, even if we hardly see it, is about oneness, about unity, about people coming together. And as Sufis, we make our contribution through coming together, through honoring our differences and seeing it as one. And we do it as Sufis in our own way, by sharing our practices, by sharing our devotions, by having meals together, by laughing together, by talking together, by being together, by practicing the zikr together, by being in silence together. That is how we are. And through this coming together, the masters of love who guide us, who hold us, who help us, can do their work. Because they don't have the density that is needed. We do. Mrs. Tweedy always told us, those great ones, the superiors, they see the past, they see the future, they are one with God. But they don't have a physical body. They don't have that human quality that we do. So they need us to be here for them. Because without that human quality, it can't come into the world. That's why the Sufi is the doorkeeper of love, who stands between the worlds, one foot in each world, outwardly to be with the people, inwardly to be with God. And the threads of love are woven through us, through our daily life, through our spiritual practice, through our remembrance of God, and through our connection to whatever tradition we belong to. The connection, the tradition, is the link into the inner, into all the realms of beauty, of glory, that are not physically accessible. We stand in the physical world, in the mental world, in the emotional world. We know that only too well. We live in it, we suffer in it. We work hard to earn money in it. We send our children to school in it. But when the call is given to us, something in us turns away and begins to look towards the inner, begins to look within, into the heart. And there in the inner are all the other worlds, the worlds of the angels, the worlds of pure love, the worlds of pure spirit. And beyond that, the worlds of non-existence. And beyond that, the plane of the absolute. The plane of absolute reality. They are the inner worlds. And through the grace of our traditions, they are present within us. Because they are woven into the thread of love. They are part of the thread of love that is a spiritual tradition. And we can use that thread of love in two ways. One, to go back to the source, to make the soul's journey back to God. And the other, the out-breath, to bring that into the world. So that the inner, the hidden, the veiled, the planes of pure being and beyond can come into the world through the heart of the mystic and nourish the world and bring, in this case, into the world a song of remembrance, a call to prayer that is not for us because we have already heard it. We have already been given that grace. And yet we stand and live and work in a world of forgetfulness, in a world of appalling forgetfulness. I don't think there has been such forgetfulness for many, many thousands of years. We even have got to this point of hubris of thinking the world belongs to us, which is such a sin, such an ignorance, such a forgetfulness. When even the most simple person before always knew that every foot he placed upon the earth was being placed upon something sacred. Whether you were cooking or weaving or hunting, it was all sacred. It was all part of a great whole. And everything was about an acknowledgement of the sacred, of whose life it really is. And that is why we stand on the edge of an abyss as a culture. And what is going to call us at the deepest level back from the abyss but the call to prayer, the call of remembrance? So what we have created just by coming together, just by being Sufis, because you don't do anything. My Sheikh, he said, Sufism is a state of being. Just through being together, we have created, or through us, there has been created this organism of light that is a song, that is a call. And it can be heard by souls in the world whose hearts are not directly accessible to that pure note of love. Because it carries our denseness, it carries our humanness, it carries our ordinariness. It has taken on color and texture and form. And it is also one. It is so difficult to get away our concepts of separation. Because you think, we have created it here, well, this is Monterey County, and you know, what use is it to anybody in Monterey County? But that is because we see it through the eyes of separation, through the eyes of physical limitation, and it does not function in that dimension. Because it belongs to oneness. Because it was created in oneness. Because it was created out of love. And so it exists.